Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Larry Blake.
Hey.
So, trustworthy Larry Blake, how are you, sir?
Extra trustworthy today.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
Very, very well. Very well, thank you very much. Good. Yes. I'm feeling good. My wife and I were going to go to the cinema last night. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see Fighting With My Family. Mm-hmm. But we decided that it started at 20 to 9,
ooh,
which meant that it wouldn't have actually started until 10 past 9. And we thought, I think I might just go home.
I'll just go for a little sleep.
So we went home and we made a curry instead, a jackfruit curry with some onion bhajis that we did in our brand new air fryer that we got for Christmas, which were pretty good. I think my first time using an air fryer, I need to get used to it.
I don't even know what an air fryer is.
So it's basically like, it's like a deep fat fryer where there's no fat in it, or there's no, like, you don't use any oil
to fry the air.
Yeah. And so you get, like, you can still make crispy onion bhajis, but there's no oil in it whatsoever.
It's melting my melon, man.
So they were good. I just need to get used to, like, create a batter that will work for it. So we had that and watched MasterChef.
Very good.
Oh, mate, it was great. How about yourself? How's your week been?
My week has been very busy, but it's been good. I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Have you got plans on this weekend?
No, and that's why I'm looking forward to it.
I see.
I love not doing anything.
Love it.
Like going out, meeting some friends on Friday who I used to work with for like a get-together that we didn't have last year. So we haven't seen them all in ages, which would be really nice. Saturday, seeing some friends in East Dulwich maybe for a drink or two. Might go to the Horniman Museum and they've got a Lego exhibition where they've made various of their exhibits in Lego. The Horniman Museum, for anyone who doesn't live in London, is a little Victorian museum in southeast London. And it was all collected by Mr. Horniman. I don't know what his first name is. But it was most of it's taxidermy stuff. And like he was like very into the natural world. So he collected a lot of fossils and minerals and all that stuff. But then a lot of taxidermy things. The centerpiece of the Horniman Museum is a walrus, like a taxidermized walrus. However, when they acquired the body of this walrus and they brought it back to the UK and they had to taxidermize it, they didn't know what a walrus looked like when it was alive.
Right.
So you know how to, if you're taxidermizing a dog, you scoop the dog out and you fill the dog full of sand or whatever. I don't think it's fluff. I think it's sand. I don't think it's like, it's not like Build-A-Bear Workshop. They don't just get like a vacuum full of like bit and just cotton wool.
You put like a little thing in it as well, so you could press a button and it makes noises.
Yeah, so it's I think it's like sand or grain or something. So they were stuffing this walrus, and obviously, like, I imagine a walrus skin has a lot of give. So they're stuffing it and they're stuffing it, and they're like, my God, this thing is taking forever. But they didn't know that walruses obviously like have a large like percentage of sort of flabby body fat.
Yeah.
So they just stuffed until it was full. This thing's like a balloon. And that is like the centerpiece of this whole museum, is this puffed up, like, whatever, Wally the Walrus or whatever it's called. Like, it's mental.
Okay, I'm going to get an image up of this museum. I can never spell the word museum.
It's so good. So yeah, that's really worth going to see. And then they've got much weirder stuff, like shrunken heads and the mermaids that people used to make when they used to take like a monkey and a fish and sew it together. Yeah, look
That's
at him.
That's the chap.
Look at that guy.
Man, he is stuffed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crikey. He is stuffed.
So you might go see him, and they've made him out of Lego as well, so they've made two factually incorrect versions of a walrus.
I do like going to museums where I'm not given correct information.
Yeah, that's best. What you have to take it with a pinch of salt when you go to this museum and just be like, none of this is true.
Well, we'll have some chat about that in the outro portion of this podcast. But before we get to that, Randy Datson fans are still looking for a name, of course. Bearded Dalton, or Andrew Dalton rather, has suggested that we give the fans their due diligence and name them after one of the best tag teams in recent history, the Forgotten Datsuns.
Oh, that's quite good.
That's good. I like that one. Jared also sent an email in that says, "Hi Luke, Ollie, sexy boy Andy, kissing heart emoji. Stop being mean to Andy. He is a hot boy and demands respect. His fans should be called cool people because he's cool and people who like him are cool. Thanks for reading this. I doubt you read this on the podcast. Plus, P.S. this is a joke. Andy is not cool. Goodbye."
That was from Andy, funnily enough, as well. Weird.
Richard also sent in an email to say, "Hello Luke, Ollie, Laurie and 37 fake adores. You shouldn't call Randy fans anything. Just like with a small child, you shouldn't support bad behaviour. You're welcome." That's from Rick. Which is great. Also, thank you to those who back in the day, like when I first joined WrestleTalk, they started doing this thing where Triple H had kind of hired Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe to be like his right hand men. We were like, oh, they could be a tag team. And I came up with the name the Ultra Units, because they're both just units, but together they become Ultra Units.
Yes.
And we referenced this on the show yesterday, and I could not, neither me or Ollie could remember for the life of us what we called them. So thank you to everyone who emailed in to say that it's the Ultra Units, particularly Brandon, who calls himself the guy from Texas, who still watches Southland Tales once or twice a month. Southland Tales? Oh, mate, you should never watch it. It's bad. Nice. Another Randy Datson fan suggestion. This one comes in from Blair. "I was thinking of the obvious wrestling-related name for the Candy Fatson fans and was thinking of the Forgotten Datsuns." There's another suggestion for that. So maybe that's what we do need to go with.
The Forgotten Datsuns.
The Forgotten Datsuns.
He'll hate it as well, so that's probably the best thing to go with.
Absolutely.
It's my greatest joy in life, to wind Andy up.
Bless his heart. Bless his heart and his terribly dirty desk.
Jeez. Mucky, mucky desk. We've got a cleaner and it's still not clean.
Yeah, it's just a gross desk. I mean, you
it's like
next to me.
It's like a teenage boy's bedroom. Yeah. I might consider moving across the room permanently now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice on my side.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's crack on with the show itself. Talking about awesome episode of NXT. But before we get into that, there is a discussion to be had about the future of the NXT Championship and what's going to be next now that Tommy Ciampa is unfortunately out with an injury. Here's the show. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Freaking. Dick, dick, well, diggity. Although we are going to dive into the whole show, which I thought was tremendous.
Banging.
Oh, man. As perfect an episode of NXT as you can possibly get. Yeah. Qualo wrestling throughout.
Qualo.
Storylines advanced. Matches made. Oh, I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. But before we get into that, news broke yesterday. I mean, I say it broke yesterday. It was kind of reported on last week by Meltzer in The Observer that Tommaso Ciampa was injured. And the story at the time was that Ciampa had been dealing with this injury for a while. Mm-hmm. That's why he's only wrestled on five matches live this year. He hasn't really been doing house shows or anything like that. So he's been kind of like reserved. He's not been doing a lot of the house shows. He's been pulled from a lot of the house shows as well. Mm-hmm. With the idea being that this injury is a problem, but he can get it sorted after New York.
Yes.
That's fine. We'll do Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano at TakeOver New York. And then Gargano can win the belt and Ciampa can take some time off and get healed.
Yeah. Potentially have surgery, whatever's needed.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. However, it then came out later in the week that it was actually a spinal stenosis, I believe is what Meltzer reported that it was, and that that's quite bad, and that could mean that Ciampa might be out for a long time, and...
Could be forever.
Well, it could be. He's out indefinitely. Yeah. As of the current time that we're recording this, news is he's out indefinitely. But Meltzer said, like, best case scenario, it's 6 to 14 months before he can come back. And then WWE.com confirmed this. and said that Ciampa is going in for neck surgery today, March 7th.
That's a hop, skip, and a jump into surgery as well.
Isn't it just? Basically, it was like, we can't hold off on this any longer. He certainly can't be doing any more wrestling matches. Sure. He needs to go in for surgery now, which leaves the TakeOver New York main event in a bit of a bind.
It does indeed, doesn't it?
Thankfully, I suppose, for NXT side of things, also thankfully that Ciampa's getting this looked at now.
Yes.
Thankfully, for the NXT side of things, they haven't filmed everything up until TakeOver New York yet.
No, but they have set the plan in motion, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah, so we're not going to go into any of these spoilers for the next couple of weeks' worth of shows, but they have got another taping set to be done before we get there. So the next set of tapings are essentially going to have to fix this issue, where Ciampa is going to have to vacate the NXT Championship. You could argue, possibly through the angle that shot in the tapings, you could probably bail off the back of that.
Yep.
But so they're going to have to announce that Ciampa has vacated the title, and then have to create a new main event. Now, the current rumored main event is going to be Gargano versus Adam Cole, baby. Which
I'm into.
Makes sense as well, because you've got Adam Cole, and he wants the Undisputed Era to win all gold this year. So maybe that kind of makes sense in a way. Maybe it does. But man, like, you think about it sucks for Ciampa, man.
It really sucks. Because, like, his last injury as well, while obviously unfortunate, happened to play quite well into the storyline that was happening. Because actually taking him out of the running for a while gave you more time to build Johnny as a single star.
Yeah.
And then have Ciampa come back and ruin it. This just kills all the momentum now that we've, like, you know, and obviously that's part of the problem of having a 2 year long story.
It's nearly four years, really.
You've got this huge risk element in it that someone could just at any point get injured, and yeah, like, he's been injured before, but it actually helped. Here it is, right before the finale, you would imagine.
Oh, and this is literally—it was the last chapter of this story. Yeah. It's so unfortunate after the killer year that they had in 2018, and how this story has been told, like, you know, over the last 4 years. Like, they mention it in this show that these two came into NXT together for the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Yeah,
you know, so it was a long old time ago. It's when Finn Balor was NXT champion. Yeah, that's how long ago that this storyline effectively started. Then you move into the Cruiserweight Classic in 2017.
Yeah,
and then you've got, you know, all this and the other. It's just, it sucks right now, right as you're at the very end of this, that it all falls apart.
Yeah,
and you've got to wonder that when Ciampa does come back, if Ciampa does come back, are they going to want to pick up this storyline again? Yeah. Are they just going to drop it entirely? Are they just going to work it within their characters, but it's not, okay, we're just going to pick up this story now, it's been 14 months later?
Yeah, see, my bigger worry is that WWE will go cold on him because he's been injured once.
Yeah, he's now injury prone.
And they'll just, you know, earmark him as injury prone, and then he'll never really get the push he deserves. Because clearly, he is perfectly capable of being the top guy on a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Johnny as a foil, which at least gives me the hope that we could, in 14 months' time, just replay this on the main roster to
possibly
some degree.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't know what the landscape of WWE will be 14 months' time from now. So, like, we might have had a huge change. Maybe Triple H is finally in charge of the main roster shows. You never know. But
Vince,
like,
is distracted by the XFL.
Yeah, Vince will be distracted by the XFL. Like, we might suddenly start, and obviously, like, they had enough faith in the NXT guys recently to be like, let's just inject them to make the shows better. So maybe down the line, Gargano continues to get a push on the main roster following finishing off at sort of New York, and his whatever, if he gets a run as the champion in NXT, when that's over, gets a bit of a run on the main roster, starts to build up a bit of momentum. He's just about to get somewhere. Look who comes back.
Old Tommy C.
To
wreck
everything
again.
Especially if they build off any angles in which, you know, some fallout from the Dusty Classic with these two that would have set up a potential TakeOver New York match. Like, you know, that idea that they're going to fall out at the end of this And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's written in that Johnny injures him. Maybe, I don't know.
That's like, what I mean, yeah.
And that, you know, and then the vengeance when he comes back.
He's got a storyline purpose to come back to.
Exactly.
Because that's the other sort of like real knock to Tommaso Ciampa here is he's just been called up to the main roster.
Yes.
Like that is like you finally achieved what you came here to do. Like,
that's what makes me even sadder though.
It's like sucks so bad.
But it's you know, like you were saying at the beginning, it's like his NXT career this year has been five big matches, but yeah. Very good, like great storytelling, great angles, awesome just showing up and doing stuff. And then he gets called up to the main roster and within two weeks he's got four matches under his belt. But
on the main roster, he's only had two.
Yeah, so he's two matches. Now, yeah. So he had the bar one. So it was 1 week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he has two matches back to back, and then he's magically injured. Yeah. And it's like, oh, great.
And
like,
there's been no mention of them since. Like, Tommaso Ciampa was on stage for the Ric Flair beatdown, like for the Ric Flair birthday thing, but like was never made mention of. And Gargano was just backstage with Shawn Michaels randomly.
Mm.
So it like, even feels like because Ciampa's now injured, they've stopped going with Gargano on the main roster as well, or they weren't sure what to do with him with all the NXT stuff.
To be fair, that makes sense to me. I would stop talking about Gargano. if Ciampa got injured, I'd stop talking about Gargano because Gargano probably needs that belt for a bit.
Well, that's the key to this now, isn't it? Because we wanted to talk about like who could possibly replace Tommaso Ciampa as the new NXT champion. Do they go down this route, the rumored route of Gargano and Cole at TakeOver New York, or do they go a different route? Where do they go through from there? Because in theory, we've lost Gargano to the main roster. We've lost Aleister Black and Ricochet to the main roster as well. Mm-hmm. So those are three of your really tippity-top guys gone. But is Gargano going to stay in NXT? Are they going to kind of like renege on that main roster call-up, keep him in NXT, and you know keep him there to kind of bolster that main event scene?
I think there's potential for that just while they finish off building the people they were building. Because I think clearly in their heads as well, they were sort of building Matt Riddle to seem like he was that character, the next guy to kind of step up and take it. And then they obviously second-guessed themselves and went, oh no, we'll do Ciampa Gargano one final time, finish all that off. Riddle goes for the North American.
Mm-hmm.
And then that seems like what we're building towards for TakeOver New York, right?
Yes.
Riddle and Dream, especially from this episode. So who is beyond Cole and Gargano? Because Cole is just perpetual main event player. He doesn't really have to do anything to maintain that mystique.
He's over to such a degree.
Yeah.
That, like, really, you could probably put any member of the Undisputed Era into that main event scene.
They
like,
wouldn't so I was, mind, no.
Absolutely. And I was going through, like, the list, and I wrote down Adam Cole. And then I thought to myself, you could easily do Kyle O'Reilly as a singles guy in the main event. You could easily do Roderick Strong in a main event scene. Like, it's so simple to do because they're all massively over. Cole is probably the most over of the four, so that makes sense to go with him.
Yes.
But I certainly wouldn't mind, like, a Kyle O'Reilly main event of a takeover going for the title.
Mm.
And wouldn't mind it at all, mate. So I've gone through,
sign me up for some of that.
So I've gone through the list of names.
Go on.
So Adam Cole, obviously. And then there's kind of these other bubbling guys they've been working on, like Dominik Dijakovic, Keith Lee, and Matt Riddle. Possibly there's even a room here to start to elevate the Dream.
Mm.
Push Dream into that sort of main event status. If you're not calling him up to the main roster, then give him a year on top in the main event for the NXT Championship. And the other one, which is slightly more of an outside choice, is Jackson Ryker.
Yeah.
Because clearly NXT are kind of all in on the Forgotten Sons at the moment.
They've got some plans for them don't involve Jackson Ryker wrestling at the moment. But
right.
Yeah. Like,
so, like, if you need some of these singles guys, like Ryker is something they clearly like because they were giving him all those squash matches to kind of build up the Forgotten Sons. Maybe he is a guy that you could. He's not over enough to straight away put him in there.
No.
But I think there is certainly room within NXT for him to have a takeover match at some point.
Yes, like, definitely.
A takeover match for the title.
I mean,
at some
he could
point.
Be. He's like a sort of Lars character where he's not like massively over, but he does the right thing for the right person at the right time. And Lars was that for Aleister Black. Like,
yeah.
It was just like, here's this insurmountable force. Oh, you kicked him in the head.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, like if Gargano wins the belt at TakeOver New York, Like, Jackson Riker's not the worst person for him to have a first feud with. Just, like, you can get a win over Jackson Riker and just, granted, though, I would think that's almost like the Daniel Bryan, that when Daniel Bryan finally won the belt, and they're like, and now you're facing Kane. And
yes,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I was kind of hoping for something a bit better.
Yeah, well, like, but if Cole wins as well, like, Forgotten Sons and Undisputed Era feuding to keep that.
That's right, you know, yeah, Faction Warfare.
Feuding to keep that title is quite a good angle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Forgotten Sons seem to be improving from this week's show,
yeah,
as we've seen. Like, it's I don't know. Yeah, I think the safest bets are Gargano and Cole, just for, like, if you have to impromptu make a takeover quality main event match for the NXT Championship, those two guys. However, I'm also not against them going, well, do you know what? Like, these two guys, Keith Lee, Dijakovic, that is a four-way match for the title.
Oh,
like, you know,
mate, yeah.
Do a ladder match.
Yeah, absolutely. Do a ladder match.
Like, let's have another, like, North American title ladder style
match.
Event,
yeah.
That will just steal the show and just absolutely bring the house down for your biggest event of the year.
Man, yeah, like a 7-man ladder match with, like, Gargano, Cole, Dijakovic, Lee, Jackson Riker. Like, you'll probably put him in there.
Because
like,
that's
like,
me. That's
and even, like, someone who's, like, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off there, but, like, on. Someone else who was, like, is possibly in the mid-card sort of things. I put, like, Oney Lorcan in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, if they're knocked out at the Dusty Classic.
Mm.
So, like, put Oney Lorcan in there. He's not going to win, but he can do some, like, big, crazy spots.
Yes,
because
yeah.
that's what he does.
Bit of Humberto Carrillo.
Well, perhaps.
Just for flippity-doos. But, like, I think that's the kind of match that says to me, we don't need to build this. We don't need weeks and weeks to do this. But if you just go, well, okay, it's now going to be a ladder match for this title. People will suddenly go, huh?
One more time?
And you just know that it's going to be a spectacle, but it doesn't have to have loads and loads of story going into it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It just has to be this mad thing that happened.
That's a great shout. Especially like William Regal comes down and is like, unfortunately, we've lost our NXT champion.
Oh, it's
he's had to vacate the belt because he's got a very bad neck.
He's got a horrible back.
But we're going to have this ladder match and it's going to be bloody terrific. And I'm going to have some of the best stars from the NXT locker room. And then they all come out.
We've
and
gone
all
down
like,
Robert Dias. We've got the biggest ladders we could find.
And then they come out with Adam Cole being like, you know, I won the North American Championship this time last year in a ladder match. I've got Pryor. Blah, blah, blah. I think that's a much like it's
and you can whack Ricochet and Black in there as a farewell tour.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, it does, because it just means that these people just end up on the card and you know it, just in a massive spectacle.
Yeah, I think that's a
this
great
is my
idea.
Best idea that I can come up with for this.
It is a tremendous idea as well. Okay. Doff the hat to you, sir.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Breaking.
But before we get out of here, we have got some $25 and above pledgehammers that we need to shout out. Starting off with Killer Chris Phillips.
Yes, yes, sir.
Infinite Crisis Chris Jenkins.
The Master of the Hammers. He's a sexy man, not an Andrew Grossman. Or Grossman.
Let's have a drink. Christopher Travis Merriman.
He is a merry man.
He's a merry, merry man. Very merry man.
Switchblade Courtney Summers. Ooh. One of our longest running pledge hammers.
Dot, dot, dot dive?
Yep.
Dylan Kishita.
Yes. Dot, dot, dot dive. They drew blood. They drew first blood. Not me. Grace Chris. Rambo. Yes.
You sold out. Jay Sellers.
No, you just bought in. Yeah. And Jonathan, the headmaster, Headman. Yes. And one last one.
Stay hyped, Kyle Rowley.
Yes, yeah, stay hyped, my man. So the show opened with this awesome video package that was all about the Dusty Classic. And it was making me, I was sitting there watching this, and I was like, there's a reason why people like this tournament. It's because this tournament means something. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get these sort of video packages for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
No.
Yeah, sure, it's something we do every year, but it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, but it might as well just be called the Something to Do Battle Royal.
To get you on the card, Battle Royal.
The things that are happening, Battle Royal.
Exactly, because, like, Baron Corbin didn't exactly get much out of it other than getting a main roster caller, but didn't, like, have a storyline coming out of it. Cesaro, I think Cesaro won it. He got nothing out of it. Big Show got nothing out of winning it. Matt Hardy got nothing out of it from last year. Was it Bray Wyatt win? Whatever it was. So, like, none of these winners... Mojo Rawley. Like, none of these guys get anything from winning the Battle Royal. But when you show a video package for the Dusty Classic, and you show, like, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, what, you know, were the inaugural winners, and now you look, okay, Finn's the IC champ, and Joe's the US champ on SmackDown, and then you've got the Authors of Pain, who have had a main roster call-up, and unfortunately got an injury at the moment, and but they've been Raw Tag Team Champions, and the Undisputed Era, and you're like... Like, this means something. Mm. People want to win this tournament.
And there are angles spinning out of it. And there's
There's
long-term storytelling going on.
When you had Ciampa being like, where it all started. Yes. And you have that clip of them making their NXT debut within the Dusty Classic. Mm. You know, with Ciampa with his little mohawk and things like that. And you're like, oh, there's so much history around this.
Yeah.
I was stoked for this episode.
You also, like we were saying the other week, it's just like, you know that when you're getting the Dusty Classic, all you're getting is weeks worth of great matches just happening.
Oh, and we got that here. Yeah,
I like the fact here they were just like, let's just do all that. Now else.
So there's always this idea when you're doing a tournament, it's like, well, you don't want to do too much in your first round.
You've got to put Aaliyah back in the closet. We've got Dusty Classic this week.
You've got to, like, you don't want to do everything in your first round. You've got to build to your semis and your quarters and your what have you. And then you do your big block for the final. This apparently.
Forget it.
Like, the first match in this first round tournament was Ricochet and Aleister Black versus the European Union, which may end up being one of my favorite matches by the end of the year. I loved this match.
This was wicked.
Oh my god, it was so good.
But it was everyone doing everything at like full speed. Like, we've seen Aleister Black on the main roster doing his, like, he's doing that same combo all the time now, the roll over the back, knock him down, run off the ropes, kick him in the head. Here it was at least twice as fast.
Oh,
it just went
god,
yeah. Everything, it just feels like everyone's like more confident in the ring at full sail for some reason. I don't know what it is, but it's
weird,
just like, there's just a bit more just like, let's just go for it.
Yeah. Like, if you'd have debuted Black and Ricochet on the main roster with this match, or like these two against the Revival, and just let them go out there and have, like, cause it was like a 10-12 minute match.
Yeah.
Just go out there and have this match on Raw, they would be superstars. Mm. Like, absolutely. Like, cause the crowd would go, they would be like quiet at the start, but it'd be like the Revival Bobby Roode Chad Gable match. Quiet at the start, but then they start to get into it and start to get. And the same thing would have happened here. You do that on Raw, you do the same thing on SmackDown. Instantly, they're massively over.
It's one of those things, the NXT, great. I think it's just a thing that the NXT guys seem to have, and it's the same thing we say about Birch and Lorcan. I was going to do your Lurch and Borkin thing, but it's the same thing about them when they were facing the Undisputed Era. NXT guys have the ability, if you give them enough time in the ring, to turn up and go, we'll make you know who we are.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems to be the way these matches run. And it, like, you know, you can go, oh, well, the European Union appeared a couple of times, unless you're watching all of NXT UK as well, you probably don't care too much. But by the end of this, people were like, oh, they're great.
Oh,
these guys are fantastic.
One of my notes for this match is, in all caps, this team is amazing.
Yes.
I love the European Union so much. And it was at this moment when...
I also love the real European Union. Sad to see it go.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's not get into that. But me too. this moment when, Bartel tosses Ricochet into Aichner, who just catches him in this suplex. Like, he was nothing. Like, I know
Aichner is a freak.
He is a freak, right? Mm. And he does this big suplex, which ruled instantly, quick as a flash. Bartel is through with this amazing tope. And then before you know it, Aichner's up doing a tope, a diving springboard moonsault. You're like, this team is incredible. Yeah. I absolutely... We said this last week as well. This is the most stacked Dusty Classic where I want every team to... Well, apart from Forgotten Sons, I want every team to win.
Yeah. I just want more matches. But I think we should have done a round robin. Like, I would have been much... If we'd have just had a round robin, I would have been much more into that than this. Like, let's not do first round elimination.
No.
Let's just do everyone versus everyone, and then whoever's got the most points goes through.
Oh, now you're talking my language, mate. That would have been rad.
And then we could have forgot all the storyline going into TakeOver New York, but it would just be like, look, sorry, we did...
Yeah.
5 weeks of Dusty Classic.
Yeah. Oh, man, it'd be great. Anyway, this match was just awesome. Like, so many awesome near falls. Hot tags aplenty. I thought Black was great. I thought Ricochet was awesome. But I was so, bowled over by Aichner and Bartel. I thought they ruled.
Well, I mean, if that's the cool thing. If tag teams like that are going to travel, if, you know, you've got Mustache Mountain coming over and you've got the European Union coming over... That is brilliant, because that, again, like we were saying, more things traveling between the different brands, especially 205, NXT and NXT UK, because Vince is less precious about what happens there in general.
Yeah.
So why don't people just ping pong around? Because it makes people care.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like, seeing the European Union here, I'm going to be like, I want to go and watch all the matches they did in NXT UK to see if they're up to the same standard, because... These guys are fantastic.
Man.
And then you find someone else, and then hopefully they come over, and you're like, oh my God, now I'm fully versed in all of the WWE lore.
I am so in on this European Union. And actually, I'm going to give a shout out on this episode as well. My low-key MVP of the night, granted this is all fed to him, but my low-key MVP of the night was Percy Watson. Because he gave two really good points to the tag teams. I forgot what the other one was, but it was in this match. He compared Black and Ricochet to the very first winners of the Dusty Classic, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor.
That's
two
great
guys.
Shout.
Yeah, two guys who aren't a tag team, but they've been put together, or they've joined forces to be in this tournament because they want to be a part of this tournament. Percy Watson just saying that, being like, hey, you know, the first winners were two guys who weren't a tag team, so they could be this year's Joe and Balor. And I was like, that's a great point.
Yes.
It's a great shout.
And it doesn't, but it doesn't devalue any of the other players.
No.
Because, like, it made sense with Balor and Joe, because Balor had already, like, Balor was champion at the time.
He was champion at the time.
He was champion at the time. And Ricochet's been North American champion. Black has been NXT champion. So they're just like, of course, when they join forces, they're going to become more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
They're going to form like Voltron.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's a Megazord.
I thought this was awesome. Black, and like, it really didn't damage the European Union either, because Black won with a Black Mass from out of nowhere. And it really was like, almost felt like a desperation Black Mass by Aleister Black. I thought this was rad.
And there was such a crazy little combination. Oh, it was so good.
If you haven't watched this match, go out of your way to see it. So I've got a Word document that's like my favorite matches of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easier for when we do the end of year lists for me. I've got something I can go back
to. About this.
Rather than being like, what happened? When was this? I've got a document of being like, what matches I really loved.
I'm just
going
to say
them.
Rey Andrade when we get to that time
year.
Pick one.
And this match went into that list. I don't think it'll end up being in the top 10 because there's pay-per-views and things like that.
And they're gone.
Exactly, yeah. Like, so there'll be loads of things that'll knock it down.
Mm.
But for now, this is one into that list. Loved it. We see backstage Mustache Mountain from NXT UK warming up backstage, and the War Raiders sort of approach, just standing there with their belts, looking cool. And then we've got a recap of Keith Lee versus Dijakovic from last week in that awesome match. A match that was so good, Ollie is now watching NXT.
Yeah.
That's how good that match was.
That match.
That match. And then we get a clip from earlier in the week. We see Lee at the Performance Center, kind of like, you know, doing his, some bits and pieces that they do at the Performance Center.
Headlocks
and whatnot. And Dijakovic walks up and he wants to finish the match right there. It's like, there's a ring. Mm. There's a ring. Let's just finish this now. And Bugenhagen is there to kind of separate them up. The only... I know there are other people there, but I was like, Bugenhagen's here. I was like, oh, Boogs is here. Lovely. Excellent. This is already the best episode ever. And they announced that Keith Lee versus Dominic Dijakovic will take place in 2 weeks' time. Yes, please.
Yes, I'm hoping that that is another no contest.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Me too, mate.
I want it at TakeOver.
Oh, yes. I know we just said we want to put them in that ladder match, but transition it into the ladder match.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Just, and you can imagine as well of those two just constantly trying to have a stare down and people stopping them.
Oh.
So like you have like Lee and Dijakovic, and then like Adam Cole starts fighting Lee and someone else starts fighting Dijakovic. Mm. You fight them all off and King Kong and Godzilla face off once again.
This is a feud that could run and run, like, yeah, of just matches that don't finish.
Meaty matches.
Yeah. Like
big meaty matches.
You've got at least four in there, I reckon, before they have to actually have a pinfall.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And this is actually the other great Percy Watson call, because it came in our next match between the Forgotten Sons and Larkin and Birch. Mm-hmm. This was, I mean, it was the worst match of the four, but it was still really, really good. This was the best the Forgotten Sons have looked in NXT. By leaps and bounds, this is the best they've ever
looked. That's some new moves.
Yeah, right? But the great call that Percy Watson put over, and I love this little detail. He said the Forgotten Sons are the only team that trained under Dusty Rhodes.
Ah, yes.
What a great call. Because everyone else is new.
Yes,
They're all shiny and new, but these guys have been here for, you know, donkey's years. Mm. So they actually trained under Dusty Rhodes. So for them, it's really important that they win, because they've got that connection to Dusty. I thought that was a great call. Just a wonderful bit of character for these two guys in this tournament.
Yeah, it just makes it matter to them. I think that's the key with this stuff, is like those tiny little calls that he manages to do. Like, as the third man, your ability to chime in is obviously very limited.
Yeah. Okay.
Being able to,
that's all he does.
Jeepers. Like, but like, being able to say something just very, like, just cut through with something very pertinent, obviously elevates you slightly. Mm-hmm. Percy's obviously proven himself to be very good as the second man as well, a couple of times when people have been off or ill or whatever.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. I like Percy.
He's not as good as Morrow or Nigel, but like we said with this match in the sort of first round.
He gets less
practice at the talking. Yeah, exactly. But also, like, as saying this match is the worst of the four doesn't say that this is the worst match of the lot, because this was a really, really good match. Mm. I thought this was a really, really great match.
The only thing I didn't like in this match was with the referee really elongating tag. Every time there was a tag. I don't know why. It just really got to me this morning.
Stop saying it like that. They had some really good back and forth. Like, only Larkin was my favorite part of this match. Like, his back was being worked over. So when there was a great moment during this when Larkin had been worked over and his back was really hurting. And Danny Burch finally tags in, and Danny Burch runs wild. So, "Oi, London!" And he runs wild a little bit. And then he tags Eichner back in. And you've got Nigel on commentary going like, that's an error. Like, that's a mistake. And then
they go for the elevated,
the spike DDT thing, right? And it turned out it was an error, because Larkin couldn't do it because his back was hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have later on, like, the match still goes from there, you have Larkin doing his like bad back comeback, where he was doing his wicked running uppercuts and his big flip dives and whatever. I thought he was wicked in this match.
Yes. The bit where he, like, I know it's a spot he keeps doing where he just goes chop crazy people, but here, oh, they stung. They were so rapid as well.
He's great.
He's been training under Bruce Lee.
He's so good. There was a wicked spot for the Forgotten Sons as well when Blake hit a power bomb. It's like doing a buckle bomb, but you had Cutler in the corner lifting his knees up, like jumping up and putting his knees up. So you had, like, it was a power bomb to the knees.
And then that led into the finish.
It did, yeah, because they hit their finish, which is like a sort of reverse DDT foot stomp, like off the top rope thing. Crowd weren't massively into the Forgotten Sons winning.
No.
I think they really wanted to see Larkin and Birch advance. But, you know.
They can. Yeah, but they're the sort of people that will bounce back.
I
think they're just over, like, they're over enough at Full Sail that you can just do whatever you like with them. They can just be filler. Lovely, lovely filler.
Lovely filler. And to show how good of a program NXT is, when sometimes you say like 2 hours just isn't enough, 3 hours sometimes just isn't enough. This was a 1 hour show where you had four either excellent matches or a really good match, and yet you still had two segments in this show that furthered storylines and set up matches for TakeOver New York.
True.
Like, you had time to do all of this.
Mm.
It's very easily done.
If you keep the chatter down to a minimum.
Yes.
Yeah,
indeed.
That's, yeah.
And if you have the luxury of not having to put your ad breaks in the middle of matches, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
But this was that segment because the Velveteen Dream came out and he was there, not to do a celebration speech, but as he's about to talk, bro. And the crowd go, oh, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Riddle versus the Velveteen Dream.
Excuse me. Is that my interest being piqued?
I think it might be, yes. And and he's like,
my tummy's fizzing.
He's just like, and Matt Riddle comes out and he's just like, look, bro, I'm not here to like rain on your parade. I just wanted to get a closer look at that North American Championship. And now I have had a closer look. I think it'll look really good around my waist. I thought this was awesome. And then Velveteen Dream being like, honey, the spotlight. Terrible clip. And then the spotlight does come and he's just like, it's always on me. I thought Dream was cool. I thought Matt Riddle was cool. And that is a match. Because what, talk about a clash of styles. Of like Riddle versus Dream. I can't even imagine what that match would look like.
No, I'm excited to see what they managed to come up with.
Right?
Yeah. Because it's the bits where like you'll do the classic, like most matches are one person's doing their thing. Other person gets in control, they do their thing. It's the bits, the back and forth bit is the bit I can't wait for.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It's like, we have to blend these two things together now and just see what happens.
And hope it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either going to be a hot mess or it's going to be fantastic. It's probably going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's like the RVD and Sabu versus Lucha Brothers match at United Lucha Stand. Has every chance of being the best match of the year, but also has just as many chances to be a train wreck.
And then Sabu will cause that train wreck.
With an actual train as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah, he
like
will.
We're all going down together! And speaking of storylines being continued, we got a backstage sort of promo segment with Io Shirai and Kairi Sane talking about Bianca Belair. And Io brings up that she's beaten Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair hasn't. You get clips of Bianca, you know, being sort of snubbed in the six-woman tag. Well, not being snubbed, but like kind of being outshone.
Yes.
And she does her undefeated shtick. And Io then cuts this promo in Japanese.
Mm.
And it wasn't subtitled, but I knew what she was talking about. She was like, you may be the EST, but I'm the best. I'm literally the best.
I'm the best in Japan.
I'm the best in Japan. I'm number one. And they're having a match next week. And I want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Io Shirai is great.
She's awesome. I also love Kairi Sane saying that Io can easily beat Bianca Belair by then grabbing her hair as if to mock Bianca Belair. I thought she was wonderful.
I like annoying Kairi Sane when she was trying to play with Bianca's Bianca Belair. Bianca's bell hair.
wonderfully, get off me. Wonderfully cute Kairi Sane.
Mm.
Oh, she's kawaii.
Mm, she is.
She is indeed.
Ultra kawaii.
She is ultra kawaii. Then we got more first round action for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic as the Street Profits, or as I've called it in my notes, Streep Profits, taking on Mustache Mountain. Bit of a dream match, this, I thought. Like I was thinking, crikey, that's a match I really want to see. I'm glad I get to see this now.
Yeah, I feel like the whole Dusty Classic, apart from Forgotten Sons. I was going to say the Lost Sons. I've forgotten what they are already.
The Lost Boys.
Yeah, the Lost Boys. But yeah, like I think the whole Dusty Classic was just like, any combination of this is fine with me. So
that's why I really like your round robin tournament idea. But
I should book things.
You should. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Montez Ford screaming while he's got a neck crank on. Just going,
Montez Ford is great. What was the balaclava and the crown about?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was trying to work out. I was like, what is that?
What is this?
Why is this happening?
But I do know one thing that I very much enjoyed, or two things.
Mm.
Dawkins, like, spearing. I can't remember which member of Mustache Mountain it was now. But this wasn't like a Roman Reigns spear where you sort of, like, you pop into it. Or like a Rhino Gore where you just cut someone in half.
Mm.
This was Dawkins just driving them to the mat, being like, no, you go down now. It was literally...
It was a rugby tackle.
Yeah, I'm going to just power myself into this. I'm putting all my weight down. You go, you fall down to the mat. And that was then followed up by... What a flip dive by Montez Ford.
Oh my god.
It took the lights out, like as he was, like as he went up and flipped round.
He just does it off no run up though. He just goes, I've just got springs for legs. Goodbye.
Oh, spring shoes.
Go gadget shoes.
It was so great. And actually, there was a moment when Street Profits hit their like big Montez Ford frog splash. Mm. I was like, that's it. That's the finish.
Yeah.
I knew who was going through. And I was like, that's the finish. And yeah, and you had Bate kicking out. I thought it was awesome.
Yes.
Really, really great. And then you had like the finish saw Seven do a dragon suplex on the apron to Montez Ford.
Oh, God.
And then...
Shouldn't be allowed. Right. It's the hardest part of the ring.
And then, oh... Delay German suplex to Angelo Dawkins. Nom 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 nom. Mate, give it to me. The way he lifted him up. And you're like, well, he can't go any further. And then he just pops his hips.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Loved
it. Freakishly strong.
Hit a double team move and they won. Really good match. Gutted for the Street Profits, though.
Yes, but I do feel like Mustache Mountain on the right. If you're going to fly anyone in, those guys.
I'd say so. Yeah. I'm gutted because I really felt like they were going somewhere with the Street Profits. Like they were the ones who had that promo a couple of weeks ago. They were the ones who, not turning heel, but were showing a more aggressive side in the ring. I'm not sure we really got to see that here.
No.
So I'm gutted for them in the tournament.
I do think we just, this is all delay until after. We are in halt, like there are plans here and we're holding here.
Yeah,
and
perhaps.
Actually, it almost makes more sense for Mustache Mountain to sort of go through and get closer to the finish, because then these guys can sort of quietly drop off the radar for a couple of weeks while we build these things, and then they can come back afterwards and be like, oh yeah, that's us, you remember us?
Yeah, remember
you
us?
Like, you like us?
Yeah, you like cool. us. I do a funny dance. And then in the main event of the show, it was hashtag DIY versus the Undisputed Era in a match that when you see that written down on paper, like DIY versus Red Dragon, and you suddenly think to yourself, I didn't think we would get this match. Because DIY are very disparate people. Like, yes, they are. They hate each other. They're feuding now. And then this match happens. You're like, this match is happening. And it's going to... like. There's one of those things where I was like, I'm not going to take any notes here. I'm just going to sit back and take this all in.
I might watch it again tonight.
Yeah. And there was this awesome, awesome moment to just start this whole thing off. So Gargano makes his entrance. Usual entrance. He's got his usual tone. And then, no one is to bear. Ciampa comes out. And he walks down to the ring and he's holding Goldie. And Johnny Gargano looks at the championship. And Ciampa, as if he knew that was going to happen, was like, I'm going to distract him now. And he just points to the back. And the DIY music hits. The DIY Titantron comes up. And all of a sudden, Johnny Gargano's like, what championship? I'm going to be a tag team now.
DIY! I love those t-shirts.
And it really felt like... And it was like, oh, Ciampa's he is a genius. Like, in a kayfabe world. Mm. Oh, what a brilliant little puppet master that he is.
And I also... How nice to hear the DIY music again.
Oh, like the reaction to that music.
It was like everyone couldn't get their tongue to work fast enough to be like, DIY! DIY!
Oh my god, the music's back! This was just a stroke of genius in terms of this overall storytelling and the way that this kind of like, is this like riled the crowd up?
Yes.
Who are going to be into this anyway, because it's DIY versus the Undisputed Era. Of course we're going to be massively into this. But it's just... like, it was so great to see them back together. I'm ignoring that Raw and SmackDown match. It was so lovely to see them tagging together.
In full sail,
yes, quite. And this was just a really, really, really great match. Really, really good match.
Yeah, there was some super cool stuff in
there. Oh, yeah.
There was the wheelbarrow DDT into a wheelbarrow suplex type thing.
Yeah, oh, man.
That was so cool.
Kyle O'Reilly doing, like, double underhooks. And then cartwheeling them into another double underhook suplex. Like, how?
The man does more things that I'm just like, the bits where there's a bit where he falls back on the middle rope.
Yeah.
And he bounces up and he gets pushed away again and he falls back on the bottom rope and he bounces back up.
Somehow still he does the same
does,
thing.
He just does like tiny little things. Like, I love Kyle O'Reilly's the getting back up to fight and falling down again. Like, he does it so often and I love it every single time.
He is just great.
I would happily just look at like gifs of Kyle O'Reilly silly moments.
Oh, mate.
Him hitting himself with a chair.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, there needs to be more confirmation. There needs to be
confirmations.
There need to be more confirmations in the pod. No, there needs to be more why can't I say the word?
Compilations.
Thank you very much. There needs to be more compilations of Kyle O'Reilly face.
Yeah.
Like just Kyle O'Reilly face and Kyle doing his little weird things. I would be very happy to see all of that. I just thought this was a really, really good match. Some really good striking combinations in that moment you were talking about then. And then, not to be outdone, Bobby Fish hits a top rope Michinoku driver.
Yeah, that was the note I just looked at because I was like, what else happened in this match? And I've just written down that whole sequence. And I was like,
Oh, my God. Mate, top rope Michinoku driver and then a diving knee by Kyle O'Reilly. And this is where you really felt like DIY are in trouble here.
Yeah.
And the Undisputed Era have just got this in the bag.
Yeah.
And they just sort of kept firing back. This was our first time seeing Ciampa work as a babyface in NXT. Like, for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it was really, really great.
Well, so that was it. So, yeah, it was the Michinoku driver, the diving knee, pinfall,
yep.
Kicks out, transitions straight to an armbar.
Right into it.
And then a diving headbutt. Yep. And then Gargano manages to sort of break it up by pushing Fish onto O'Reilly.
Yeah. Oh,
my God.
So, so good.
What a sequence.
Absolutely great. Yeah. I thought this was just awesome, awesome stuff. And then you had... That and the other moment is before that I really wanted to, that I just loved was when Ciampa were going to do his slingshot spear and Kyle O'Reilly catches him into a guillotine.
Oh, yeah, Gargano's spear, yeah.
That was yeah. Did I say Ciampa? Yeah. I didn't mean Gargano. Yeah, that was so, so cool. It was just really, really great stuff throughout all of this. And then in the end, they did the meet in the middle and DIY win and they advance.
Mm.
Really, really cool stuff. Like that they're doing like sort of the spike DDT and a slingshot DDT as like a setup move.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You like to play off each other. I thought it was a really nice spot. Mm. I thought it was just really great and a really nice way to kind of cap this off. And then at the end of it, they were like, hey guys, it's the semifinals next week. And I'm like, well, I can't wait for next week's show now.
Yeah. And we got to see like, yeah. And that was the thing you got to see at the end. Ciampa raising Gargano's hand. Yeah. Like, yeah. But then he's... he raises Gargano's hand and then the referee bring Goldie over and he's like raising his hand and he's like over here.
There was this look on Gargano's face where he thought, I can't believe this worked. Yeah. Like I can't believe we're actually tagging together I'm quite happy about all of this.
But that's the thing, I think it's the smart move. If this is gonna, you know, it's either gonna succeed or fall apart. I know you know what happens. Mm. I know what happens. But like if your choice is eventually to break it apart, the best thing to do is have the first round go swimmingly. Mm-hmm. Like, and just be like, look how good it is. Like, look how amazing. It's the perfect bit of storytelling to go like, this all goes right now.
Yeah.
And then if things do go sour, it feels even more like, we were making a go of it, man. Like, yeah. It was working.
So yeah, I thought this was as perfect an episode of NXT as you can possibly get. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just great, great wrestling. There were segments that furthered storylines, and the storylines themselves, there were other storylines that were furthered within the tournament.
Yep.
I thought this was a cracking episode of NXT.
Yeah.
Well worth going out of your way to see. I thought it was awesome. Particularly that opening match between Black and Ricochet and the European Union. Holy heck, I want to watch it again. This email comes in from Neil, who says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie. Nope, can't think of anyone else. I recently donated £20 to a game on Kickstarter, which is about a wrestling RPG that's due to be released later this year. Upon donating, I was tasked with creating a boss character for the game. Obviously, I had loads of ideas, but there was one that really stuck with me. I really like what you guys do, so I decided to homage you guys, I'll make a boss character out of all of you. He wears a lucha mask, like Laurie. He has a beard, like Luke. Wears a leopard jacket, sexy jacket, like Ollie. Wears a white and black t-shirt that says Torque, has big muscles, and is classified as a heavyweight. His boots are red and his trunks are blue. The red and blue color combination is based on the WrestleTalk logo and is given the name The Silencer. If you're interested in a short backstory, please continue. If not, keep up the great content. Kind regards, Neil Stewart. So, the only thing I'm disappointed there is you didn't provide a link to what this wrestling RPG is.
Yeah, what is it? How can I play it?
Yes, and I'm too lazy to look into things on Kickstarter because...
I mean, I haven't even read the wrestling RPG I already own.
I've not looked into the one you got me, so...
Yay.
Yeah, although I might actually... look into that now because I've just finished my latest book. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm close to finishing. I'm like, you know, like 10 or so pages out from reading it. It's a book called How He-Man Mastered the Universe, mm-hmm. and it's an entire history of He-Man and the Master of the Universe franchise. Wow. From like its toy inceptions through to the stuff we did with Filmation, the Dolph Lundgren movie, and then like the revivals they tried to do in the 90s and the early 2000s, and the reboot film and things like that. It's very, very good.
My God, niche.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm
reading. The Hound of the Baskervilles, currently. So.
Oh, a proper book.
Oh, a proper book for proper people.
This email comes in from Alita. She's Australian. Greetings. Thank you. Greetings, Luke, Laurie, Pete, and Never. Hang on. Let's try this again. Greetings, Luke, Laurie, Pete, and Never, Randall, Keith, Katzen. Greetings, guys. I was wondering what is the best way to learn D&D. My friends and I have been trying to learn, but I have no idea where to start. What podcast apps or YouTube channel would be great for three total beginners? Also, I was wondering if I could bug you with media production questions, as I have no idea, and I've just been accepted into teaching secondary teaching. Thanks again from Australia, Lita. I don't know, man. What do you think?
D&D starter set is actually very good, and breaks the rules down to a very basic level. There's a lot of YouTube channels that do. I think Wizards of the Coast do their own like how to get into D&D player series, in which they've got a very experienced dungeon master running a game for complete newbies, which runs through sort of all the rules as they come up. But the cool thing about D&D is like it's a pretty chill game. So as long as you get yourself the starter set. You don't even need a player's handbook at that point to be able to play. You just need the starter set. So if you get the starter set, it will explain all the rules. One of you needs to read it, and the other two of you just need to be characters and sort of know what they do. But you can read everything off a sheet as you go, which is the cool thing about it. Like, it's a very reference-heavy game in the sense that like something comes up you don't know what to do. Look in the book. The answer is there.
Yeah.
And if not, just do whatever seems the most fun.
Exactly, yeah. So when we started playing it, like I hadn't really played it much. Like I played it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But that was like, you know, years and years and years ago, like 20 plus years ago. So A, the rules have changed drastically since then anyway. But also B, I was a child and I really know. Mm-hmm. So playing it now, we kind of all got together. I think the majority of the group that we had were all D&D noobs. Like none of us has played the game before. Even our DM, it's the first time he's DM'd anything.
Yes, yeah.
So the starter set is very good at kind of walking you through the game of like, you need to do this and you need to mm-hmm. do this. In fact, actually, it's almost so basic to the point where our DM, George, said like, there's almost not enough information in there for me. Like if you ask me something, I don't have anything to go with. But I think that's also why the starter set is designed that way. So you as a DM have to improvise things.
Yes, yeah. So like when you're asking what's on the table, it gives you like a thing that's on the table.
But
you might just have to make up a whole table's worth of stuff. Or like, is there, because a lot of the stuff that comes up in D&D is actually very flexible. The idea of like, you know, your players will always go, I want to look for this very specific thing. And it's not anything you've ever mentioned before. It's not the magical gem that you've set up that they're looking for. It's not ammunition for any of their guns. It's like, I just want to find a perfectly round stone.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason it will be, you just go, yeah, sure. Like, you go a little bit away. It takes you 10 minutes maybe. Like, just set a time limit on however long it's going to take these things. Chances are you'll find them as long as they're not like, I want to find the Sword of Dragon's Bane.
Yes, exactly.
You know, as long as it's fairly common, then it's fine. And then you just work with let them work with what you've got.
And D&D Beyond is a really good resource as well, because that will, you'll get given character sheets in the starter set that you can work with, but then once you've got out of that, D&D Beyond will essentially create character sheets for you and kind of like do all the math and kind of remove that element of it, which some people say is probably the more fun aspect of it. But if you are new to it, it's a good way to just get a character sheet going.
Yeah.
And I'd also recommend as a YouTube channel, Talking 20. I've got some really good videos on there. They give you kind of detailed videos on how to play each character and how to RP characters and things like that. So I'd very much recommend that channel.
I'd give it a go watching the first series of Xavier Woods rollout as well. That's about like a lot of
that's the starter set.
Yeah, a lot of the guys playing that haven't played before, so a lot of the rules are explained as they go.
Yeah.
Like it's just a very useful, like watching other people play is obviously a good way to do it, but the best way to learn it is to just play it yourself and you find out what you like about it. And a lot of it is improv, so just go with the flow.
Yeah, that up.
And you'll end up, you'll probably end up having a great time.
Exactly. That up, up, down, down video that Woods did with Ember Moon, Tyler Breeze, and another one of the NXT guys. Mm. That's a really good way. Because Ember Moon's like an experienced D&D player.
Yeah.
But she's arguably the worst person there because she acts like a knob throughout mm-hmm. the entire time.
Well, they've just started season two now as well. So like they've now got Aiden English and Alexa Bliss on the cast as well.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, up the number of people.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
I might give that a watch. Because I actually watched the first episode mm-hmm. of it. I didn't watch the rest of it. So it'd be really cool as well, because as we've played through that campaign as well. So it'd be cool to see that. And Wizards of the Coast are also doing...
I'm sure they do it much better.
Probably. We were quite bad at it.
That village has burned down. Oh no, that village has burned down. No villagers are left.
Yeah, oops. And Wizards of the Coast are releasing a new version of the starter set. So if you're a fan of Stranger Things, they're releasing a Stranger Things branded starter set that's about... It's the stories that Mike was creating for the show, like in the show's world, all the campaign stuff that Mike had written, combined with the starter sets.
That's wicked. And I mean, if you want to, and once you get past that sort of initial starter point, I think if you want to see, if you want inspiration for how to do the best D&D game that you can possibly do, watch Critical Role.
Yeah,
it is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's voice actors at the top of their game, wholly committing to their characters, while a DM who is a Machiavellian genius runs a campaign with multi-layered stories going on. They just did a Kickstarter this week to make an animated short
mm-hmm.
of the show. In the first 20 minutes, it made $500,000, which was their goal. In the first 3 hours, it made $1 million. Overnight, it made $3 million. They're now making a series.
Yeah, I was just going to do a quick search for them.
It's nuts. Like the level of fandom they have as well. That's the cool thing as well. Like they have such a huge, broad, wide-reaching fandom that you'll meet people from being a fan of Critical Role that you like. The animator that we had in this week doing bits and bobs for us.
Yes.
Chatting about Critical Role to him, and that's why we're mates.
Absolutely. Yeah. Critical Role, where have we got to? Yeah, Critical Role. It's currently now at 5.8 million.
Series.
Which equates to 4.4 million. And the numbers are going up as I'm looking at it. So 43,000 backers them. Absolutely nuts, mates. But anyway, that is all we've got time for on the show. We didn't have time to get into your 80% facts, but we'll try and do that on the Saturday show because, Laurie Blake's going to be joining me for the Saturday show.
Yes, I am. Don't know where Ollie is.
Yeah, I have no idea where he is. He's made a bit of a disappearing act, but I'm sure it's fine. We need to think of a topic for what the Saturday show is going to be, but we'll certainly talk about it. We'll also have your crap gimmicks and mailbag questions, but that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.